grab your notes. I'm Robin, and we are in a series called Invest. The topic today is preparation. And we started Eastlake Church so people would know one really simple thing, that Jesus loves them. That's the whole mission here, is just to make sure that the average, everyday person, the normal person, just understands, they at least get to hear that Jesus loves them. Because when you get a chance to hear that, it prepares you in a way that is different than when you try to earn God's love. And so that's the big message, that Jesus loves you. We're in this series called Invest, and we all make investments in life. We invest our time, our energy, or our money. And the question is, am I happy with the results of my investment? And one of the best ways to get the returns on your investment that you're looking for is to make certain that you're prepared. And that's the big idea this weekend. You can write in your notes, Jesus shows us how to prepare. We always have the big idea. We're hoping that this weekend you can make the connection between preparation and making an investment. Now I'm going to read a story today, and it's a story that Jesus told some of his friends, his disciples, and he was talking about himself. And he was telling his disciples and his friends, he was telling them this story to prepare them, because he was saying that he eventually was going to die on the cross. And then he would resurrect, and he would come back, and he would be here for a while, and then he would go away again. And he's preparing them for all this, and then he's saying, at some point, nobody knows when, I'll be returning. The context of the whole story is in what in church history, all through the ages, is called the second coming. It's a belief in Christianity. Orthodox Christianity believes that at some time, nobody knows when, but at some point, Jesus will return. He's talking to his friends, he's saying, will you be prepared for that? And when Jesus comes this next time, when he arrives this next time, he won't come as a savior and he won't come as a brother or a friend. He arrives as a king, the second coming. And so the question is, will I be prepared to meet the king? Even now, if I met the king, would I be prepared? So he's telling this story about preparation, connecting preparation and investment. And let's read some of it. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who are like what we call bridesmaids, who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. So this is a story, a parable. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. So he tells them this parable. Parable means to throw something alongside of truth. It's like to tell a story to get some truth out. And in the story, the groom is Jesus, and we're all the bridegrooms, and so that's the backdrop. And it happens in the context of a Jewish wedding. And let me tell you how, like they got married in that culture. Your parents arranged who your wife was going to be, or who your husband. All the marriages were arranged, and so it didn't matter who you liked in high school, had a crush on. None of that mattered because your parents decided who you were going to marry. And then once they decided, there was a private ceremony held in the home of the bride's father. And so just a few chosen people would come, and they would have this marriage time, and then you would be married, you know. And sometimes you didn't even know the person that you got married to very well. And then you'd like come into the living room there, and they'd like have a ceremony. Oh, there you are, you're married. Now here was the crazy part. After the ceremony, the groom would go away to his father's house and spend an entire year away from the bride, preparing to be a husband. So there was a wedding day, but no wedding night, which is a bummer. And so, you know, there's no wedding night. And the groom goes away, and he's probably thinking, I got gypped, you know. And so he goes away, and he's hanging out at his house for an entire year preparing. And the bride, she's with her family, and they're all preparing. And after a year goes by now, the groom is allowed to go and to receive his bride after an entire year. So you can imagine there's a degree of anticipation in this story, because they've been waiting a year for the wedding night. You know, and that's what's happening when Jesus tells this story in this context. And the bridesmaids, they have a job. Here's their job. They're supposed to alert the bride that the groom is about to arrive. So here's their job. Their job is, it's like in life when a management position opens up at work, but you don't know exactly when the person is going to be hired. See, sometimes in life there's an opportunity out there, and you know the opportunity will arrive at some point, but you don't know when. And so that's the bridesmaids. They're watching and watching because, you know, the girl doesn't want to get caught, like, without her makeup on or hair all messed up or something like that. I mean, she's been waiting a year, you know, to see the guy again. So she's like, you're thinking about buying a house. But the question is, like, when is the right timing? Or you're thinking about calling all of your friends that like BYU, but when is the right timing to call them because they're in deep grief? Because if you listen close enough, you can hear the weeping in Provo from here, which is beautiful. Timing. It's when you know an opportunity. You know an opportunity is arriving. And if you are a BYU fan, just come afterwards and we'll pray for you, because that's like a really sad thing to be. But anyways, like, you know an opportunity is going to arrive. The question is, when is it going to arrive? So that's the bridesmaids. And here they do kind of a smart thing. They get themselves in position to be able to see. They get close enough to the bride to be able to see what's going on. And that's like a little lesson. That's a fast lesson about preparation. Get yourself in the right position to be able to see opportunities before they arrive. They get real close to the bride, so they're right there so they can see the opportunity. In other words, get very close to your children as they grow up, so you can see the opportunities before they arrive in their lives, so you can share life with them and support them. Don't get caught by surprise. Be very close at work. Just don't punch in and punch out. Get into the action at work so you know what's going on, so you can see the opportunities before they arrive at work. Get very close to your parents as they get older in age, so you can see the opportunities before they arrive in their lives. So as they get older and they go through different challenges and a lot of things change for them, you can support and share a life with them because you're close enough to see the opportunities. Get really close to your friends and into their story and see what's going on and what's happening with them. So when the chance arrives, before, like, you see the opportunity starting to arrive, you can just say to them or pray for them, just say, you know, just so you know, I mean, Jesus really loves you anyways. Like, get close enough to see. And that's what they do. They get really, really close, but there's a problem. At least five of them have a problem. And their problem is they're partially prepared, but not completely prepared. Five of them have a problem. In the story, they're called foolish. It's not that they're not prepared. They have prepared to a degree. They're partially prepared, but not completely prepared. And I understand that because sometimes it takes so much effort to just be partially prepared, to like sort of get prepared. Like, you're tired and you're like, I don't want to invest any more time or energy or money. It's like, I put a lot of work into it. Well, here's what I do sometimes. I'm more prepared than the next guy. Here's the problem. Sometimes when you're prepared more than the next guy, it doesn't mean you're prepared enough when the opportunity arrives. Watch who you compare yourself with. Oftentimes, like, we like to lower the bar. It's not fair to, like, compare yourself to a third grader. I'm prepared as they are. You know, in life, when you feel like you've done an awful lot, and so you're like, oh, well. Or maybe, here's the bridegroom, maybe this is their thing, I know this one. It's like when you stop preparing because you tell yourself, you know what, it's probably never going to happen anyways. Like, why get prepared? I mean, they're probably thinking, I've already got my lamp and everything. I mean, they're thinking ahead, they're all thinking ahead. And by the way, there's not that much difference between these two groups of people. They all have lamps and they all have oil in their lamps. I mean, they're all thinking ahead. What if he comes at night? But five of them may have thought this, you know what, what's the real chances of him showing up in the middle of the night anyways? It's when I talk myself out of being completely prepared by saying this, it probably won't even matter. It probably won't even, like, it's probably not even going to happen anyways. Why go the extra mile when it probably isn't going to even matter anyways? You know what? I mean, why even bother getting my homework turned in anyways, because everybody's going to probably get a C anyways, and why even bother? Is there any area of your life, and right now you're partially prepared, but you're not completely prepared? You know, they all wake up, you know, like it says here in the scripture, It was a long time coming, and they all got drowsy. And you know, they like all wake up. You know, they're all awake now. And sometimes the routine of life can cause you to get drowsy, and you miss opportunities. I mean, you know, nighttime comes and you get into the same old bed with the same old bedroom. And then you get up to the same old alarm and you go into the closet and you get the same old clothes. And like you like go into the bathroom, you take the same old shower, you get the same old toothbrush with the same old toothpaste. You look in the mirror, it's the same old face. You know, you get yourself showered in the same old shower, same old shower gel, same old scrunchie if you're a girl or sort of girly. And then, you know, you come out of the shower, same old steam that you don't like, and you finally get yourself dressed with the same old clothes that you'd already seen when you went to your closet. You go into the kitchen and you get the same old breakfast stuff out of the same old refrigerator. You go outside as you pass your same old living room, you get in the same old car, you drive the same old way to work. You get to work, it's the same old people and the same old problems. I mean, life is like a routine. You go through the same old day, and then the day gets done. You have the same old feelings. Great, I get to go home. And then you realize, so what? And you like drive the same old car the same old way. And you get to the same old house, and you take off the same old work clothes and put on the same old not, these are my not work clothes. And then you have the same old dinner, and then you go watch the same old TV, and then you go into the same old bed, and you ask the same old question, and you get the same old answer. You'll get that one a little later. And then all of a sudden you get the same old sleep and you do it over and over and over again. And sometimes, like the routine of life, you just get drowsy. And you can miss things when you get drowsy. Like you get a little drowsy about stuff. And there's this lesson here about it that Jesus gives. There's this great lesson. And the first thing is some things can't be borrowed. And let's read a little bit more of the story. At midnight, the cry rang out. Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied. There may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. In high school, I hated algebra. I still don't like algebra. I just never got the point to the formulas and the number line and like what could be more like sick than having to do word problems. It's so stupid. And so I didn't like it. So here was my plan when it came to algebra. My plan when it came to algebra, because like the very first time I saw a word problem, I was like, you know, a jet leaving from Detroit at 600 miles per hour with frozen bananas in the back, sees a train down below and there's a monkey riding on it. When will the bananas defrost? It's like, who cares about such stupid stuff? And so, you know, my plan when algebra was, here's my big plan, I just found the smartest kid in class and I sat next to that kid and I borrowed answers. I just borrowed answers. I don't know if you've ever done anything that you know isn't right and you just call it borrowing. And so I just borrowed answers and I borrowed answers and it worked just great until the teacher one day shows up with the test. And on the test it says, show your work. And I'm like, I can't show my work because I haven't been doing any work. Because I've been borrowing my answers. The cry rings out. It's like all of a sudden the opportunity arrives, you know. And, I mean, they all wake up, you know, and in those days, you know, the groom would have showed up and he like shows up in the very middle of the night and he shows up and everybody wakes up. It's not like they don't wake up. They all wake up and they must have all had their lamps going because they go in and they grab their lamps and they all run out with their lamps. And here's what they discover. The wise one and the foolish ones look at their lamps and go, man, we're almost out of, we're not going to be able to see. They're almost out of oil. So the wise ones, they have oil. They put oil. But the foolish ones now that aren't prepared. And, you know, it says that the groom arrives at midnight. Are you waiting for an opportunity? And it just seems like you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. And it just seems like it's forever. And listen, it will arrive, but it may arrive on your timetable late. Much later than you think. I know people that are just waiting and waiting. They're like, oh, guys, waiting to find the perfect wife, perfect wife, perfect wife. And they're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And it's just like, you know, and but it will happen at some point. It may be late, though, in your mind. And all of a sudden, here it comes. It's late at night. And they all get up and they all have their lamps. And the foolish ones, all of a sudden, they realize, here's what it's like. It's like when you've been waiting for a long time. And when the opportunity finally arrives, you're out of gas. You don't have anything more to invest now. All your energy is gone, and you don't have any more time to give, and you don't have any more money to give. You've been waiting, and you've been waiting, 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 and now the opportunity arrives, and it's late, and you don't have any more gas. Five of them discover that. We have this big old truck that we bring all of our gear in, and, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I'm back behind the truck, you know, and I start seeing it slow down. I'm thinking, what's up? And it's pulling off to the right, and it pulls into a parking lot there, and I pull up. I said, hey, what's up? What, you know, we're on our way to church. We got a timetable. It says, I think we're out of gas. I'm like, out of gas? Come on, you know. And now we're out of gas. And do you know nobody plans to run out of gas? Then the guys didn't get up that week and go, God, here's what would be a blast. We'll run out of gas on the way to church, so we'll have to scamper around, try to figure out how to get gas, and then we'll be praying like crazy, the truck starts, and then we'll get there and we'll be way behind. So we'll have to rush and rush, and everybody will be bad-tempered and arguing with each other, and boy, it'll be so fun to have church, praise God. You don't plan that. But you know, you can be prepared, even though you don't plan it. I said, hey, do we have an extra gas can or anything? He's like, nope. I said, well, from now on we will. So we bought one of those red gas, and we put 5 gallons of gas in it, and the goal is always have some gas left over. Do you know that you can be prepared for when you run out of time or money or energy? You can be prepared in life. You can have margin in life. You can have reserves in life, and you can be prepared so when you don't have gas, because that's what happens to the foolish ones. Here comes the opportunity. It's late. And they're completely out of gas. And they do have a plan. Their plan is to borrow. That's their plan. They're going to borrow. And when you read the story, you know, they go to the bridesmaids and you think, it's a pretty reasonable question. Hey, could we borrow some of your oil? And the bridesmaids are like, no, you can't have any. They probably had one of these things going. You know how girls get where they have a hand here and a foot like completely sideways like a gymnast and their head is going like this. No, you go get your own. And you think, you're not just wise bridesmaids, you're mean bridesmaids. But Jesus is making a point. He's making a point. He's saying, in life, we will all have times in life where we need something, and what we need cannot be borrowed. You can't borrow character. You have to develop it. I think that's why we all like movies. You know, you go to the movies and you see the people on the big screen, you're like, ooh, man, that's the kind of life. That's such a cool life. I mean, that's a really neat life. And then just slowly you're like, that's kind of like how I am. And, you know, you just kind of borrow their life for a couple hours. You know, vicariously, you're sort of like the person on the big screen. You're like Brad Pitt, and you look like Angela Jolie. But the truth is, you can't borrow anybody else's life and character. You can't borrow someone else's faith. Maybe you've tried to borrow your parents' faith or your friend's faith. It's like you can't borrow that. You can't borrow someone else's relationship with Jesus. You can't borrow that. You can pretend, but you can't borrow. Is there anything in life, and you're, like, you don't realize it, but maybe it's coming into your mind right now? Your tendency is, your habit is that when you really need it and you're not prepared, you attempt to borrow it. And maybe that's happened because some things can be borrowed, but what happens when you need something in life that cannot? When Jesus is talking about when he's going to arrive someday, he's saying, someday I'm going to come back, and he's making it very clear. Here's what he's saying. Listen now. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, in this story, here's what he's saying. You either have oil or you don't. You either have character or you don't. You have faith or you don't. You have a relationship with Jesus or you don't. Someday the king will arrive and you'll either know the king or you won't. It doesn't matter how much you go to church or what religion you have or who your parents were or anything like that. I'll say it 1,000 times. You can put a wheelbarrow in a garage. It does not make it a car. You can go to church all your life, and that doesn't make you a Christ follower. You can't borrow that. Now here's the second thing in the story, because that's what they find out. Oh, we can't borrow that. Here's the second thing. Number two, some things can't be done last minute. When it comes to investment and being prepared, there's some things you can't do last minute. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." Listen, there is a difference between last minute and too late. It's never too late to develop your character. It's never too late to develop your faith. And it's never too late to develop a relationship with Jesus. It's never too late for that. That's very different than waiting till the last minute. Several years ago, I was praying, and God told me there's three people you need to go to and talk with, and you need to admit some things that you did wrong. It's always a happy day when God tells you that. He's like, there's three people in your life you need to go to them, you need to admit that you've done some things wrong, and you need to ask them to forgive you. Now, the first person was pretty easy. It was a pretty close friend of mine, and I really saw what I had done. So I called him up on the phone, and I said, you know, I did this, and I see that it's really, really wrong, and would you forgive me for that? And we talked, and he forgave me, and it was just great. So, like, you know, when you ask somebody to forgive you, it's so hard to get the words out, of course, but when you finally get there to humble yourself and say, "Would you forgive me?" And it just feels like something lifts off of you. It's like a layer of an onion just like comes right off of you, and you're so. How could you? This is interesting about asking someone to forgive me. How could I not want to do something with all of my heart, and after I've done, I'm so thrilled that I have? Like, when that weight comes off, you're like, why didn't I do this sooner? And so, you know, it comes off me. And then I go to the next person. This is a lot harder. And these are all way back in the past now, things that have happened. The next one, I go to the person in a much, much harder situation. Relative of mine, and it was this one was very difficult for me. I put it off for a while, and I finally just got someone praying for me. Then went and I did it, and the same thing. Something I've noticed is it doesn't matter how much I think something weighs, whenever I ask forgiveness and the Lord takes it off of me, I'm lighter. So I went to the person and I talked with them and I admit what I did and they forgave me and it was just awesome. Who do you need to have a conversation with? And you've been putting it off. You're on this side of it now. It's just like, I don't want to do it. And of course, we all know on the other side what it's like, but how does it call us over there? And I don't know why. I don't know why these girls didn't just like get the oil ahead of time. I mean, think about it. I mean, now they got to go out in their bridesmaids' dresses, and they got to go out and try to buy the oil, and everybody's like looking at them and stuff. I mean, I don't know why it has to be that way for them. They could have just got the oil. I don't know why it's that way. I mean, I've noticed that anytime I'm doing something last minute, I'm rushing. So the other day, I had to drop something off, and I had to go to this gas station and pick something up, and I'm getting home from work, and I waited till the last minute all day long to go to this gas station. It's really running tight on me, and so I whip into this gas station. I don't even go to where you're supposed to park or where you like pump the gas. I pull up right next to the door of this little gas station where you have those little convenience stores, and I jump out of my truck. I don't even turn it off. I leave the truck running, door open, and I run inside this store. It's like, hey, I'm here, everybody, stop, because I'm here, you know, take care of me. And like he's like, I get the thing that I need really, really quick, and I run back out the door, and I open up the door, and my truck is gone, which is a startling thing to have happen to you. And I'm like, what the heck? I'm 5 seconds, where's my truck at, you know? And I'm looking, and the first thing I think is, someone stole my truck. My truck was running. You know, and I hear this, like, person talking over here, and I look, and there's this Hispanic guy sort of talking to me in English and kind of saying things like that. And as I look at him, I'm thinking, oh, he must know who stole my truck. And then out of the corner of my eye, I see my truck, and it's rolled back down the hill. It's rolled back down the hill, and it's about 10 feet short of 4 lanes of traffic. And I'm like, what's my truck doing down there? And then he begins to explain it to me. This guy was out with a power washer cleaning, and all of a sudden my truck starts rolling at him, and he jumps out of the way, and my door was open, and it slams into the power washer, and it started dragging it down the hill to where the hose got so tight, it stopped the truck right before it went out into traffic. And I'm going to tell you what, if you don't believe in angels, man, you have something like that happen to you. Because I went over there and I looked at it, and there's the power washer, water's going all over like this. And you know at that moment, you're searching for any way you can blame somebody else. It's like, well, why'd you leave your washer there? Oh, it saved everything. Good. You know, it's like, so I move it and I realize. And I just wanted to ask this question. How last minute do you live your life? And do you find yourself rushing and making mistakes? How last minute are you when it comes to somebody's birthday? Or Mother's Day or Father's Day? Do you always get the last crappy card? Because you're last minute in the store like all the rest of the other dudes on Mother's Day or Wives Day or whatever day. You know, and like how last minute are you at balancing your checkbook or not? How last minute do you arrive at work? Hey, listen now. Like, one of the things about being last minute is you'll be rushing and then you'll make mistakes. And they make a mistake. One of the reasons I keep reaching out to people all the time, I just keep reaching out and reaching out to them, because I don't want to wait until the last minute. Because I learned an important lesson. God came to me and said there was three people I needed to talk with. And the third person was definitely the hardest. They're the ones I hated. The other two I didn't, but this was a person, I'm not proud of that at all, but I did. Because they were a relative who at one time I was fairly close to that did something just terrible to another relative that I loved very much in my family, a family member. And I found out about it. And I was so angry, and I got so hateful towards that person. I didn't talk to him. I didn't have anything to do with them. And then God comes to me one day and says, you need to have a conversation and ask them to forgive you. I'm like, forgive me? Hello? They're the one, you know. But he was able to show me, the hate is poisoning you, Robin. Hate's a sin. It's hurting you. You have to go to them and ask for forgiveness. I kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and justifying and putting it off and putting it off. Last minute, putting it off. Then one night the phone rings and the person on the other end of the line says, they're dead now. They died today. They had like an asthma fit. And they're gone. And I missed that chance. I missed that opportunity. Opportunities pass. There's a chilling line in this story. It says, the door was shut. Who do you need to have a conversation with? Because sometimes the door shuts. You can't get it back open. You try, but the opportunity's passed. I mean, I know God in his mercy creates another way for something to occur for us, but that particular door, you can pound on it like the foolish bridesmaids. Open up, open up, open up. And some people say this. They say, well, my heart's not right, and I'm not ready to talk to them. Do you know by the time the bridesmaids were ready, it was too late. And the door was shut. Don't wait till you're ready. As soon as you know, that's when you go. Who do you need to have a conversation with? You know how we started East Lake Church? We started East Lake Church so people would know that when they go to have those conversations with people, they're not alone. Look in your notes here, the last thing, the good news, Jesus helps us capture our opportunities. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. And it is an odd thing to think about, but you're actually keeping watch for someone to arrive that's actually alongside of you as you're watching. Jesus is saying, someday I'm going to return. I'll be arriving again. And yet he's actually with me as I'm watching for him to arrive. That's a powerful God. And you do never know. Here's the thing. We don't know when Jesus will return. Nobody does. If anybody ever tells you they know the day and the hour when Jesus is going to return, Well, they don't. Because nobody knows. I mean, do you know what? You never know when an opportunity is going to arrive either. But I'll tell you this. If you try to borrow something that you cannot borrow, you won't be prepared. And if you wait till the last minute, you'll probably make a mistake. And you're watching now. This week where I work at, they bring cars in. They get these cars prepared. And you can get a loaner car. So this one dude comes in. He's getting his car prepared. He's this young guy. He's like 30 years old-ish. And it's young to me, probably not young to you. But so anyways, this guy comes in, and he can't get a loaner car. So he goes over and tells the receptionist that he wants to test drive a car. So she comes over and brings him. He says, he wants to test drive a car, you know. So we take him out, get in the car. He can sit in the car, and we're going to go out. And just before he leaves, he looks over, and he goes, I'm not test driving this car. I need to go look at an apartment, and I needed a car. And so I just told her that. I'm sitting next to this guy, and you know you have two things going on at the same time. The first thing is like, well, you're a liar. Liar! You know, but the second thing, you're like, well, you're an honest liar. And you're in that moment where you feel like you could slam somebody, or yet you're in that moment, and I don't know how God leads you, but like he leads me with nudges. I just feel a little nudge on the inside. It's kind of like if you were like you had a little toddler in your house in diapers, and the little toddler was walking around, and they have a little nail, and they're heading towards the light socket, and you just sort of nudge them away like this, you know. You know, we're going to take our nap now. It's like, I guess in my eyes, I'm still a toddler with God, because he always seems like he's behind me, just, ooh, stay away from the light socket. Come on, let's get you, you know, he's just nudging me along. And so he kind of nudges me and says, go ahead and let him. I say, okay, man, let's rock, let's go. So we start talking. He's getting married soon. Big church wedding. He says 500 or 600 people are going to come. He starts telling me about his religion and all this stuff. We go look at this apartment. And this dude's really cool. He says, well, what do you think about it? You think it's worth it? I said, I don't know. You know, next thing I'm like, hey, you're a ripoff. How am I supposed to be talking to you? You know, but anyways, you know, we're engaging. And we're talking back and forth. We're coming back. And he's telling me different things. Somehow it got around to religion. He's telling me about his faith, probably because of the wedding. He says, well, what, you know, like he starts saying, what about you? I said, well, you know, it's always a little hard to spill the beans that you're a pastor, you know, because he's like, emergency brake, you know, get out, you know. So I just said, well, I have faith too, you know, and I said, well, what is your faith like? He goes, well, in my faith, my religion, we have principles that we follow, and it's all about those principles, and you're really, you know, it's all about getting up every day and doing those principles. He said, what about you? I said, well, in my faith, there's principles too, and it's about getting up every day and admitting that you can't do the principles. He looked at me. I said, yeah, I said, that's probably the only difference, actually. We probably have the same principles. We get up every single day. I said, probably the only difference is I get up every day and I look at the principles and I go, no chance. Not even close. Will you help me? Will you help me watch? Opportunities are going to come, and I know me. I'll think I can borrow it, or I'll be chasing my truck into the four lanes of traffic. Could you help me today, Jesus? And you know, when that opportunity arrived with that young man, I wasn't ready for it. But that all of a sudden, because someone was watching with me,